Our idea with testing has always been like do it proactively and reactively. So on proactive side, like let's say we run DBT tests right after every model execution. So every time a DBT model runs, we chain our DBT test after that. So like if something is looking off, we want to make sure that issue is caught before the data is published downstream in our reporting model. So that's basically our proactive side. Then reactive side is if something slips through, we have clear alerting and triage built in.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering airflow for data engineering and AI.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Ayush Pradhan, who is a senior analytics engineer at Snowflake. Ayush, how are you doing?
Doing great, thanks. Excited to be here. I've listened to a few of the episodes and they always dive into like really practical stuff. And things at Snowflake are always moving fast. So much happening around the data cloud. And the fun part about working at Snowflake is that like we use Snowflake every day. So all our pipelines, our analytics run, everything runs inside it. And you're constantly seeing the platform work in action inside out. So it's fun.
That's great. Well, it's so great to have you on. And I think a lot of our listeners are going to really appreciate hearing some of the practical aspects of how Snowflake uses Airflow. To dive in for today's discussion, we're going to talk about specifically how Snowflake's finance team uses Airflow to help understand financial metrics like cost drivers and more. But let's start with some background. So I think you gave a little bit of it, and I think most of our listeners will be familiar with Snowflake. So I don't think we need to talk about what Snowflake does as a company, but maybe let's talk first about what your team does.
Yes. So at Snowflake, our finance team uses open source Airflow. But coming to the function of our team, like we basically manage our cost, accounting, revenue, anything that has to do with like customer-related data. And then we have like a bunch of functionally aligned team which manage our accounting, FP&A, all the finance functions. And our team works like the data layer for the all the business decisions that are taken inside finance org. So that's what our team does. Coming to like how we... our stack works is like our finance team uses open source Airflow as orchestration layer for majority of our finance data pipelines. And Airflow acts as a control plane, like it handles scheduling, coordination, dependency management, while Snowflake is where the actual data transformation analytic works happen. So that's a bit about what our team does and how we use Airflow.
Okay, that's great. So pretty classic Airflow as an orchestrator model, and makes sense that you're leveraging Snowflake for the compute, which is, of course, a common pattern when I would expect Snowflake themselves to leverage. What else can you tell me about how you're using open source Airflow for your financial use cases? Are you using other tools within that for the orchestration, or how are you managing all of that data?
That's a good question. And one of the most valuable way that we use Airflow is for data quality and readiness check. So basically using Airflow sensors, before running any key transformations across your team, we use sensors that confirm that upstream data is complete and available before we run anything downstream. For example, we might wait for like billing or cost data to fully land and be complete before we start any downstream processes. So this could be done using Airflow sensors. And then another important part is that like we use the sensors to enforce timing. So like for a lot of finance related activities, that certain processes could only start after a month end close or close that happened for a quarter. All these time based activities that you need to enforce that your data is as accurate and as reliable as possible is done using Airflow sensors. So that's the, I think, key part. And then there are a bunch of very nuanced things inside Airflow that like we use soft fail, like when we want to like wait for data to arrive and make sure that we don't fail and send out alerts. Instead, we just automatically reschedule our runs. So that's, I would say, my favorite feature on Airflow that like we use a lot and solves for a lot of our business use cases.
Okay, great. I'd love to dig into that a little more. And so tell me, what sort of sensors are you using, and are you using them to wait for data to arrive in some system external to Airflow or for another DAG to complete, or how does that work?
So pretty much both of them. So like we have certain systems which basically output data to our raw tables. When we want to run our core pipelines, when I say core means like our business focused pipelines. So we want to make sure that these systems have all their data intact. So we use SQL sensor in those cases, like where we just run a query based on like, hey, what's the most recent data that has came in? And only if that like data has completeness. So let's say I want to check that like the revenue data is complete. I want to make sure that all the deployments, all the regions out there have completed. Only then I want to start running my billing pipeline. That's one part of it. Then we also use this for, I think, pretty much SQL sensor is one of them. Then we also have, I think pretty much we have different version of SQL sensors. Like we have different kind of queries. Then we also have this thing where we like basically have our anomaly detection workflows where like we just check that, hey, a particular DAG run finishing. And then there's a DAG that would follow after that. So we make sure that in between the raw data and the business data, there's a slight check that runs our anomaly detection. So basically there's a different version of SQL sensor, but I would say that's the most used one across our team.
Okay. And so the anomaly detection is also implemented using a sensor.
There's a brief pipeline. Like we change a bunch of things apart from just writing a SQL query. There's a whole pipeline on like anomaly detection related to cost data. There's a very nuanced pipeline on revenue data. So these are like placed in places where we expect that the idea is pushing your testing as close to the source as possible. So that's where like we use this SQL sensors for basically making sure that the anomaly detection has found something that should stop the stack from running before like the bad data goes in.
Got it. I see. So you've got like a pause in the middle of your DAG that then has a sensor that waits for a different DAG to complete to do all of the data quality checks. Okay, interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. I haven't heard of quite that implementation before, but we can see where that would be really helpful. And tell me more about the data quality checks. I think anomaly detection is an interesting topic that I imagine is very important for cost data in particular. So you want to know when something is not within whatever the band of normal is. How are you implementing that on the Airflow side?
So our idea with testing has always been like do it proactively and reactively. So on proactive side, let's say like we run DBT tests right after every model execution. So every time a DBT model runs, we chain our DBT test after that. So like we are very close. If something is like looking off or we want to make sure that issue is caught before the data is published downstream in our reporting model. So that's basically our proactive side. Then reactive side is like, if something slips through, we have clear alerting and triage built in. So basically we have configured our Airflow so that every time there's a failure, we basically send a notification to Slack and mail to the pipeline owners. So basically the DAG owners, the respective task owners. So this way that we make sure that we are checking for data quality before data lands in our transformation pipeline. And again, when it is leaving our transformation pipeline, that's how we like structure our testing. And then another thing I think would be a key part here is like we isolate our workflows so that like even if something is impacted or like fails, then impact is contained. The goal is always like we want to make sure that like we detect it early, we have controlled recovery, and we maintain confidence in every financial metric that our team produces. So that's a bit about how we have our data quality checks in place.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, creators of Astro, the leading fully managed Airflow service designed for the modern data stack. Whether you're orchestrating large language models, implementing a data mesh architecture, or streamlining complex workflows, Astro empowers your team to focus on innovation, not infrastructure. To see how you can maximize Airflow's potential within your data ecosystem, visit www.astronomer.io.
You talked a little bit about the trust and reliability of the data, but tell me about, you know, what happens if a data quality check fails? From a business perspective, what does that mean downstream?
So as I said earlier, we have triage built in place. So we make sure that we have multiple checks in place so that we reduce the possibility of such bad data flowing in. But even if it does, like we have triage built in, we get alerts about exactly where and where this failure has happened in the pipeline. And then this is sent out to our Slack as well. So that way, if you miss it on a mail, you might still catch it up on Slack. And then the errors are like tagged based on pipeline owners. We are making sure that the time difference between a pipeline failing or bad data quality test failing is very close to the owner itself. So we are reducing the time between that data flowing in through like downstream systems. And like for certain pipelines, we even have made sure that if a data quality fails, the downstream pipeline won't even run for that data to be published in any or like financial pipeline.
Right, makes sense. So you'd rather have the downstream end data be a little bit out of date while you fix any issues as opposed to incorrect.
I think that's always a priority to avoid bad data. I would say like slightly stale data is still better than like showing incorrect financial numbers.
Makes sense. And is there, now that you have this setup working with Airflow and Snowflake, and you mentioned dbt in there as well, how is it working for you overall? Are there any areas where you're still looking to optimize or change how you've implemented any of your reliability and testing setup?
Yeah. So like we always try to like be on top of all the changes that are happening in Airflow, like 3.0 released recently. So we are digging in and trying to understand like how the new thing, I love the new UI by the way, like it's so fun to use. And it's basically staying on top of what's out there and also scoping out like, hey, new feature, how does it solve for a business problem? We don't want to have, just want to implement features for the sake of it. Like we want to solve for a business problem that could be solved for with a particular feature. So I would say if I would have to say the few things that I would like to see from Airflow would be a native dbt operator. I think that's a very dbt user focused ask here, but like having a dbt operator which will like have model level retries, capture artifacts, manifest all like run artifacts or json files. So basically something that is more integrated with dbt so that like we can use the functionalities of dbt that helps us run our pipeline more efficiently. Another thing that would be a very finance-related ask would be having a business calendar support. It's always tricky to have that because we have our financial fiscal closes, or like let's say even a Airflow pipeline running in a particular zone, it should maybe like having, knowing like when holidays in that zone would be a good thing to have, especially I would say more time zone aware timetables. That would simplify a lot of things for scheduling and basically for finance heavy workload. So that comes to top of my head on what I see.
I've definitely heard that request before for the business timetables in the holidays. Custom timetables can be tough to implement. I'm curious on the dbt operator requests. Do you use Cosmos or have you tried it?
Not yet, but I have heard about it in Astronomer booth in Snowflake Summit. So it would be a good feature for us to at least look at.
Yeah, definitely separate from open source Airflow, but also open source. So it does have some of that functionality like retries and building out individual tasks in your DAG per model so that it's not this monolithic send the request and then wait for something to happen, hope for the best. So yeah, that would be interesting. I would also like to spend a minute just talking about some of the Airflow 3 features that you mentioned, particularly because you're using sensors so heavily. And I know that some teams have moved, even in the later versions of Airflow 2 and certainly with Airflow 3, to using data sets in Airflow 2 or assets now in Airflow 3 for cross-stack dependencies as opposed to sensors, or event-driven scheduling for waiting for something from an external system. Of course, event-driven scheduling right now isn't available out of the box for Snowflake or for other databases, although I know that's a very, very highly requested feature. So I would imagine somebody will add it. But I'm curious if you think any of those features would be helpful for you over what you have implemented currently.
I would have to still dig deep into the sensors part of it, because right now our platform team is in the phase of just making sure that once we upgrade to 3.0, everything that's working right now is working fine in the 3.0, because we don't want to have a breaking change once we do the flip. So right now it's in the phase where we are testing out how stable it is and like how this could work for our use cases. But yeah, once we have Airflow 3.0 and we start using it, then that's when I would want to play more with SQL sensors and like the new sensors out there. But I'm very interested about like the one that you talk about, like the vendor sensor. That would be good to have, especially I could see like a whole ton of applications on, let's say if Salesforce data is updated, we want to know like when to run the DAG after it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the big benefits with event-driven scheduling, and they're implemented with a thing called asset watchers, is that unlike a sensor, you're not running a task, taking up a worker slot, so they can be a little more performant if you have a lot of them over a sensor waiting. So yeah, I think that's one of the benefits that some teams have seen causes people to move to them. But again, the framework is there right now. There's SQS and Kafka supported. Probably by the time this episode comes out, there might be others, but I know there's some other architectural changes happening under the hood to make it so that it works well for non kind of message queue systems, like watching a database or some other system. So yeah, we'll see. It's an exciting development, I think, in the project that a lot of people will likely use.
Yeah, especially in the orchestration world, like things are moving so fast that it's always good to know that like other folks in similar spaces are having like similar kind of problems to you and like how you are solving for it. Really appreciate your and your team's work on like just bringing different people from different teams to talk more about problems that they are facing. Really, that's really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I think, one of the big benefits of open source too, is that if you are hitting a problem, somebody else is probably hitting the same problem and working on an implementation. So everybody gets to benefit from the whole community. And of course, we really appreciate you telling your story. Like I said, I think folks will be very interested in how Snowflake has done this. Data quality checks are really popular. I should say data quality and how it's implemented via checks is a really popular topic. It's so relevant for a lot of teams that rely on their end state data being at a very high degree of accuracy. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing everything.
For sure. I love to talk data and our implementations. So even if you catch me on like a Friday, I would still talk to you about it. It's always good to speak about like our implementations.
That's a great offer for folks. And related to that is to close us out. What is the best way for folks to get in touch with you, including if they want to talk about data on a Friday?
Yeah. If you're in SF, would love to meet up in any conference, but the best way to reach out to me would be on LinkedIn or my Snowflake Neil. I think LinkedIn would be the best place because I do regularly check out LinkedIn and talk to folks on it, but that would be the best place. Thank you.
Okay, great. We'll include a link to that in the show notes, and I hope that I see you the next time I'm in San Francisco for a conference or something like that. And yeah, thank you again. It's been really great speaking with you. We appreciate you coming on.
Likewise. It was fun. Thank you, Kendall.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.